You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, and earlier today, head coach Nick Sirianni spoke with the media and is at the podium with a presser that's locked, loaded, and ready for you. I am your host, Rachel Prevett, and this podcast is brought to you by SB Nation and Blade and Green Nation. Nick Sirianni was asked his opinion on opening night. He stressed the importance of his players sticking to their routine throughout the week, despite all of the chaos going on. He shared his message to the guys this week, and he talked about how wide receiver duo Devontae Smith and AJ Brown sharpen each other rather than it being about a competition. Take a listen.
Nick, when you gathered the team yesterday, team meeting, what was your overall specific message to the team as you started Super Bowl?
Just being locked into the scenario, to the situation that we're in, and going through the same routine that we go through, if we're at Novacare. So that was the big part of it, was just talking about the distractions that are here, that can be here, how it's a little bit different, and how we just need to go about our business like we have been for the past 20 weeks.
Your emphasis on connection, Nick. How much of the messaging is about this being the last chance that this team will get to play together?
Yeah, you don't look at it that way. You work hard to connect every day, regardless of the scenario. And we look at this as an opportunity to play for each other again, to get better this week and to play for each other. And, we're just in the habit of connecting the whole time, too. I mean, these guys are out here doing, different things to connect with each other, going out to eat, playing ping pong in there, shooting hoops in there. So they're doing that because that's just what we've been done for the past 20 weeks.
We talk so much.
First year head coach, slow start. How or where did you find the resolve to kind of stick with who you were, what you were about, and kind of turn that thing around last year?
You know, we started really slow our first year in Indianapolis too. I think we started 1-5 that year. And I just remember Frank talking about doubling down on the things that you know are important. And he may have said it a little bit differently, but that's kind of how I said it. You know, when we started off 2-5, we talked about doubling down on connecting, doubling down on competing, accountability, football IQ, fundamentals, and just continue to grow. Even though the outside world might not see that we're growing, we knew we were. And it's not like when you say doubling down too, it's like we weren't saying anything crazy. It was like, hey, the best teams connect with each other, right? The best teams compete their butts off. And so it was just getting the things that we already knew were true, were just doubling down, knowing we had a good process, that we liked our process. We knew what that we had a good process, but we could tweak some things with schedules. We could tweak some things with, the systems that we were running. And so, that was the main message, is doubling down on the things that we knew were important and just keep going to work. And I think another big thing was just, not looking at, hey, we're 2-5 right now, and we got to climb that mountain right now. Like, you didn't have to, right? Because if you look at it like that, it can be overwhelming. If you look at it like we're in this hole and we got to climb up and do it, you didn't have to do that. You just had to go one day at a time and one game at a time. And that was the thought process. That was what we did. And, it's carried us into this week too, where we're just, hey, what's different? Nothing. One day at a time. One walkthrough at a time. One meeting at a time. Everything, et cetera.
We talked so much about Jalen and all he's achieved this year, but you ever just kind of get taken aback? He's 24, and to have this kind of calmness and leadership and comfortable in this moment and be 24, how special, how rare is that?
Yeah, I think that's just who he is, regardless of his age. That's just who he is as a competitor, as a player, I guess. it's rare in the fact, I think, I mean, I see it every day. You know, I mean, I witness it every day of him, you know, just not being caught up in any moment. And, you know, and that speaks to who he is, how he was raised, and that, you know, he's steady. And so it's impressive to see. But that's what I'm accustomed to now with Jalen. And he's the same guy every day.
How competitive have AJ and Devontae been with each other this year? And where does that show up most?
I think they've been just helping each other this year get better. You know, I don't want to say that, like, they're happy for each other when they make plays. You know, there's that little bubble that we threw in the Giants game that AJ, you know, that AJ leads the way for a touchdown, and then they're celebrating with each other, and they know that they help each other, right? That if you try to take AJ away, Devontae's going to have a big game, and vice versa. And so I don't want to say maybe they're playing ping pong or doing stuff like that where I don't see them. But I do see them just trying to help each other out and really being happy for each other's success. I know it started off a little different against Detroit, where AJ had the huge game and Devontae didn't have any catches in that game. But they just kept going back to work. We knew we'd need both of them to be in this moment right now. And they're truly sharpening each other. They're iron is sharpening iron there. They're sharpening each other, helping each other get better. And because they are the players that they are, you know, they, you know, it's hard for defenses to try to key and take away one guy.
Nick, what was your first cleared to return, and where does the punter situation stand?
Yeah, you know, we're still working through that. We don't have to make a decision now. And you knew that when you asked that question, I was going to answer you the last 18 weeks in Philadelphia. So we're still working through that. We'll see how practice goes tomorrow. He looked good last week, and so we'll just keep monitoring it.
Kelsey,
talk about distractions, and then they're seeing it in real life. And I think last night was the perfect example, right, of having the chaos of media night. How do you, as a coach, quell the anxiety or the overwhelming feelings if they pop up moving forward?
Well, again, it's always about trying to stick to your routine. You know, they go to basketball, right? When we're always taught, as you know, sometimes I'll talk about basketball sometimes because I felt like I was a decent basketball player. But you try to correlate that what we're taught as young players in basketball, that okay, you're in an empty gym by yourself, and if you dribble three times and you take a breath, boom, you shoot it, right? Well, that's the same thing you do when the crowd's yelling and the people are in the background doing the thing and they're waving the sticks or whatever they're doing, and they're yelling in the gym. You take three dribbles, you breathe, and then you go. So what you're trying to do as much as you possibly can is stay in the routines that you've done all year to understand. So when you're in that moment, it's the moment's not too big. You're just going through the process. Like all we're trying to do here is to eliminate the distractions. And one way to do that, again, there's going to be free time, and we have free time throughout the, you know, in the week too, when we're in Philadelphia. You're just trying to eliminate distractions, and you try to do that by just going through your process. Listen, my family's coming in today, but I don't usually see them on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I see them Thursdays, and I'll be, you know, I'll do my best to be a really good dad on Thursday, but Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm gonna do what I normally do, and we're gonna be in the office late, continuing to work through the plan, continuing to iron out the details of the plan. And so, you know, our coaches are leading by example, and I know our captains on our team and our leaders on our team are doing the same.
Relationship with Kelsey and Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, guys who have been here through the roller coaster over the last 5 years, how have they made you better? How have you made them better?
You know, last year when I was a first year head coach, I've said this before plenty of times, is that I was unlike a lot of other first year head coaches in the sense that I had four guys, the guys you just named, that were 10-year veterans in the NFL, and that have been to the top of the mountain. And so, to have those guys on your team, right, leading the way at you know, quarterback and the lines, or, you know, the offense and defensive lines are where you win football games. To have those guys on the offense and defensive line was really important for us as a football team to get through that 2-5 start, to get through the downs of the season, and then also to get through the ups of the season, because we got good leaders, we got good men on this football team, and those guys are phenomenal leaders. You know, you know, they lead the way not only in the standard of how to practice, how to meet, how to be a pro, how to take care of your body. Like, this is unbelievable for a guy, you know, to have Jason Kelce for Cam Jurgens. That's such an important thing for Cam and his development. And it's the same thing for, you know, Jordan Davis with the Fletcher Cox. But got good leaders, got good captains on this team leading the way.
I'm curious, what was your opinion of last night's opening night festivities?
There were some interesting questions. No, but you know what? I think that it's cool for our guys to go see that. And again, just as long as they're not being distracted by it. And, you know, but it's cool for them to go out and see that. I thought there was a lot of interesting things, a lot of cool things that we were able to be a part of. And, you know, you do what you need to do, and then you move on and go about your business and your routine.
To get to see him again, to speak to him, and what did it mean to you the way he moved on from you in Kansas City and handled that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, you know, he was very good to me in the sense that he brought me in to talk to me. You know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to bring me in to talk to me, to let me go, right? But he did, because that's the type of, it seems like that's the type of person he is, and that's the type of coach he is. And I was grateful for that, even though you don't like it at the time, right? You don't like the fact that you're getting let go and everything like that. But, you know, but when he did that and really spent a little bit of time with me, and it wasn't long, but it was enough. It was a little bit of time, to, you know, kind of tell me what he's heard about me and good luck to me. And I just can't, you know, why he couldn't keep me, because he had a, you know, David Culley was there. He was ended up being a head coach, and who's a great receiver coach. And, so it was just good. It was, you know, I was down in that moment. He gave me strength when I was down, you know, tried to pick me up when I was down. And I think that says a lot about his character and who he is. And so I was appreciative of that. And then, you know, unfortunately I had to do that, you know, when I became a head coach, right? And so even though I never worked with him, I only had that 10-minute meeting with him. He, you know, you learn from everybody, right? You have an opportunity to, if your eyes are open, to learn from everybody that you see and everybody that you come in contact with. And I used a little bit of what he, you know, how he did with me, when I had to do the tough part of my job of letting guys go.
Question about your philosophy of creating and preventing turnovers, and do you have any explanation for the variance that your team experienced in that this year?
Yeah, we work really hard at that. Now it always comes down to the guys on the field, you know, going through it, and doing it. I'd say on offense, there's specific fundamentals that you go through and you don't ever let slide, right? To protecting the football. When you're carrying the football, you know, and then you're just doing your best to make sure that the quarterback knows where to go with the football on certain looks, and, you know, and the protection's good, all those different things. But, you know, as far as just carrying the football, you know, I got around Tom Rathman in Indianapolis, and I thought I was good at teaching ball security. And then I got around Tom, and I realized that how much more fundamentals there even were than what we were teaching. So very grateful to Tom, you know, because our job as coaches is we got to acquire talent, and our job as coaches is to make sure that we're taking that talent that we get and maximizing it by putting them in the right positions and by teaching them fundamentals. And just harping on fundamentals and being a pain in the butt about them and not letting anything go. And Tom was great about that. And then I get here and we hire Jamal Singleton, and he's equally as good. It's just relentless. You'd be surprised, you know, about how much we talk about the ball, and how much we teach it, and how much we, all the little things we do that we just keep thinking of, like, hey, let's add this to it. But again, at the end of the day, it's the guys going out there and executing it. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about, but then Miles has to go out and make a cut, make a spin, do something like that, and do it. That's the hard part, right? And so a lot of credit, or all the credit to our guys. And then taking it away, you know, I think we've done a good job of taking it away in the sense that we've been finishing interceptions, you know, and also, you know, hitting the quarterback and creating some sack fumbles, sack strip fumbles. I would say that, excuse me, that they get a lot of bad ball drills, you know, because if you hit the quarterback and there's a bad ball, Denard Wilson, our DB coach, never throws a spiral. He doesn't have a great arm. And he's going to be mad that I said that because he thinks he's a phenomenal quarterback. And so they get some of those bad ball drills from him. DK McDonald, our other assistant DB coach, he thinks he's a really good quarterback. He's not. So anytime they're playing catch with those guys, they get those bad ball drills that they have to finish Slay and Bradbury and Avante.
How impressive is it what Devin Allen's been able to do to make that transition from track to football and to still be on your team all these months later?
Yeah, he's a special athlete, as we all know. So he has this unbelievable speed, that really shined in the preseason game against Cleveland, and then he made a couple plays as a gunner. But he's really worked hard at it, you know, and he's this world-class athlete that really wants to give football a shot. And we're just not keeping him around just because, you know, because he's been to the Olympics or anything like that. We're keeping him around because we think he can develop into a good player. And he's done that. He's continuing to develop himself week in, week out. He's showing up on our scout team tape that we show to our guys that, hey, watch Devin here do this. So he's done a really good one scout team player of the week a couple times. So he's done a really nice job of really going after a goal I know is important to him, at being a football player.
Let's talk about how much he wants this, saying he's starving for it. How do you find that he's kind of towed the line of not trying to do too much as a player, for somebody who's so motivated? And how, you know, what's your sense of, you know, now that he enters the biggest game?
Just that. He's just trying to do his job. He knows it's important for, you know, the O-line to do their job. He knows it's important for the backs and the receivers and the tight ends to do their job. And his job is to do, you know, get it, you know, run the show out there, make good decisions with the football, make accurate throws, make plays with his legs when he needs to. And just not have to do, just be himself. He doesn't have to do it. I think he's seen that when he's himself and he's playing at a high level, he doesn't have to press or do anything more than just do that. Cause he's got some good players around him. He got a lot of good players around him, both offensively and defensively. So, I just think that's the growth and maturity of him as a player. You know, he's maturing in every part of his game, from the way he throws the ball, from the way he reads the defenses, from the way he runs with the football, to knowing what he needs to do to help us win games. He's done a great job taking care of it. Everything.
Last one, folks. What made you think it was going well?
In my job interview in Florida, that they wanted to keep talking to me, I guess. I don't know. That the interview went for about 8 hours and they asked me to come back the next day. I guess I thought that was a good sign. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what your first date with your wife. Did you think that was going well? How did you think it was going? It did not go well. I don't know. You just have a feeling that it's going well. Okay. I guess mine did with my wife. And you just have that feeling like, hey, this is good back and forth. We see things similar. You know, I'm really able to articulate what I want to do with the team offensively, maybe what is important position wise, what the culture, you know, but those are things that you've been thinking about your whole life, right? And so you know, you just feel good about the back and forth. I think it's just reading people too, like the head nod, like your head nodding with me right now, right? You're vibing with what I'm saying. But I think you feel that, and I don't know, it's just a feeling that you have.
All right, thanks, coach.
I know you spent some time. Yeah, I got to get AC. All right.
I know you spent time in Indianapolis. How much did that help you with your career and also your
time here? Yeah, you know, I have three big mentors. A lot of people have helped me get to this position. But you know, if I'm talking about mentors that I have, it's my dad, it's Larry Karras, and it's Frank Reich. Frank's done so much for me. And so being around him, I try to help our coaches that are going to be head coaches here the way Frank tried to help me. And Frank was very deliberate about, hey, when you're running the team, or this and that, think about this. Now, did I always agree with him, or did I? No, but he was so deliberate to help me. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like I was ready to, you know, be in this position.
WGN.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything, and now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.